You're listening to His Time. It is Friday, August 28th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading together. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Matthew Wheatfeld, associate pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Nashville, Illinois, and principal at Trinity St. John Lutheran School in Nashville, Illinois. Pastor Wheatfeld, welcome to His Time.
Thanks, Andy. It's good to be with you.
Great to have this time to study God's Word with you this morning. And looking forward to studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today. Share with us about your congregation and school.
Yeah, so Trinity Lutheran Church in Nashville, Illinois. We're about an hour east of St. Louis off of Highway 64. So a nice short drive from the city. We are in a small town community, about 3,200 people in the community. And 900 members in our congregation. So we are very blessed here to have a very thriving congregation and a wonderful school as well that we join together with St. John Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois. And we have just about 90 students, K through 8, and 24 in our preschool. And it's my great joy to do both the church thing, but also to be the principal for the school, which takes up the majority of my role here. So we're doing a lot of good things, sharing the gospel with our kids, sharing the gospel in our community here in Southern Illinois. And thanks be to God that He places us here.
Amen. Do you get to spend any time in the classroom and teaching students or interacting with the students at the school?
I do, yeah. So my main role is as lead catechist for the school. So I take our confirmation classes 5 through 8, and we team teach that, but we still set up a schedule and work through that together. But I take the lead on that. So I do get a lot of time with the kids. And one of my favorite times of the day is, as principal, I get to do recess duty and get to play with the kids outside for an hour, and that's always a great joy of the day.
It's a rough life, isn't it?
It is a rough life, especially down here in Southern Illinois. We are having unseasonably cool weather, and it's just been a wonderful start to the school year.
I know. I've been calling it Ogtember all week.
Exactly.
It is just beautiful this week, and trying to get outside as much as I can. Now, it's almost torture to be in the studio here because I can see right outside.
Yeah.
Everybody's coming in, with some with light jackets, or some just enjoying this beautiful weather as they're coming in, and seeing how nice it is outside. Just want to be out there and enjoy all the great gifts that God has given us in creation today.
It's just such beautiful weather right now, so just thanks be to God.
Indeed. Well, speaking of God's good gifts, today we are studying His Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study?
So, in regards to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians is St. Paul's second letter, obviously, to the church in Corinth, and the focus of this letter is focusing on the ministry of reconciliation in Christ. It's a very obscure as to what exactly is going on here, which is probably a good thing for us outsiders, that we're not privied to the inside information of, you know, who sinned against whom. But so it's kind of interesting to take an outside perspective. It's as if there's something, everybody knows what's going on here, but so we don't really need to say it. But at the same time, we don't have all the information, but still it's a great little letter for us to read as Christ Church in regards to our reconciliation. 1 Corinthians, St. Paul goes at the Corinthians for their church really looking more like the temple worship that they had been previously a part of, very, very involved in very not-so-good things. But now their church is, you know, it's lost that newness feeling. It's lost that they're really figuring out what it means to be Christ Church now in these times, that it's become the normal thing to do. It's not the brand new thing. So part of that is reconciliation, and that Christ Church must continually be a part and parcel with reconciliation as the body of Christ. Is redeemed by Christ, yet we are still sinners, so we will sin against each other, pastor with people, people with pastors, people with each other. we're going to sin against each other. So how do we as Christ people deal with that? And Christian reconciliation is exactly what it's all about. And so yesterday we heard from the daily lectionary reading. We saw the beginning of that reconciliation starting in chapter 5. And today is the finishing of that. When the Bible reading begins in chapter 6, it really is at first a tag on to that, and then the end is a little bit of extra now working towards the kingdom sort of stuff. So that's a little bit of the introduction for this letter.
All right, let's take a look. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, by knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Matthew Wheatfelt from Trinity Lutheran Church in Nashville, Illinois, and Trinity St. John Lutheran School in Nashville, Illinois. Pastor, well, I guess I should open the listener lines too. 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you.
So, reiterating what I had said earlier, this working together with him, the question immediately should pop up, so what are we exactly working together with him in? So we flip back just quickly to 5, verse 18, where St. Paul writes, and all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us now the ministry of reconciliation. So we are working together in this ministry of reconciliation. First, Christ reconciling us to himself and reconciling us to the Father. And now we are working together in this. As St. Paul continues now in 6 verse 1, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So what is St. Paul saying there? He's saying that he is calling on the brethren in the church of Corinth, not to receive what that is be given to of the things of God, not to receive or those things in vain, but use them well. And how do we use this ministry of reconciliation, actually being a part of reconciliation, instead of saying, you know what, I don't really need this, I'm all fine by myself, I will I'll hold my grudges. I will hate people. I'll be angry. I'll hold malice. No. Christ calls to us to be reconciled as he has reconciled us to himself. And in reconciling us to himself, he draws us to the cross. And the cross is exactly where we live in our ministry of reconciliation, so that nothing may separate us. Nothing may be dividing Christ's church, but that we may be one in Christ, living at the foot of his cross. So that's the introduction that St. Paul gives to us here in chapter 6, verse 1. And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8, saying, he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. So the prophet Isaiah, looking forward to Christ's coming, that being the favorable time that Christ came. Isaiah knew that the Messiah would come, that the Messiah would reconcile or bring people back to God, and not just in a physical sense, but even more so in the spiritual sense, forgiving the sins that that the Messiah's chosen people, that God's chosen people, now in Christ, that is not just the Israelites or the Jewish people, that is all people. Now all people are reconciled to God and have been listened to in that favorable time by him. And in the day of salvation, the prophet continues, I have helped you. And we know that that help is more than just a simple handout. No, it is Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection giving us the promise of new life. So it's thanks be to God that he includes now the prophet in the prophet Isaiah here in his giving himself some more weight. St. Paul, being a good Jewish Christian, is always going to continue to throw back to the Old Testament in order that he may continue to show that his message is the same of the message of the Old Testament.
Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacles in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And then we go into this long list, and we'll look at those here in just a little bit. So now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation.
St. Paul is honing in that, because then he goes on, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found in our ministry. Again, that ministry, I would say, is more than just the general ministry of the gospel, as St. Paul is focusing on this ministry of reconciliation. Now, yes, the ministry of reconciliation is the same as the ministry of the gospel, because it's the sharing of Christ's forgiveness. However, he's trying to draw us in to see that their ministry is, here in this church, a ministry, or the ministry of reconciliation. So, going back to that first part, behold, now is the favorable time. St. Paul is saying, okay, the prophet was looking off from afar. Now, in these days, we are saying, this is that favorable time. This is that day of salvation. That in these days following Christ's death and resurrection, we live in a favorable time. Why? Because no longer do we have to look as the Old Testament people did, from afar. Instead, now the cross is sitting right in front of our faces, and as his church, we reside around that cross. And that is a uniting factor as opposed to a dividing factor. Again, Christ's ministry of reconciliation is for the unification of his church, not in externals, but in the heart of what really matters, the gospel of Jesus, that there is no division among us. So there is no anger, there is no strife, there is no malice, there is no envy. There is nothing that divides the church any longer, because Christ has died for those sins, and Christ has forgiven those sins, and Christ has promised that he will continue to forgive those sins as the sinner comes to Christ for forgiveness, comes to the foot of the cross and with a contrite heart and asks for forgiveness. So it's a continuation. St. Paul, his ministry now is residing within that ministry of reconciliation. And he commends them in every way into the things that he has, he and those traveling with him have actually had to go through. And that's where the next part comes up.
We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by endurance, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God.
with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. Let's stop there.
That sounds good.
All right. That's quite a lengthy list.
That is quite a lengthy list. The things that St. Paul has had to endure, he and his traveling companions, one could say these are the weapons that Satan tried to use to derail St. Paul's ministry of reconciliation, St. Paul's ministry of the gospel. Satan used the need for great endurance, he used the afflictions. He tried to use the hardships, the calamities, the beatings, the imprisonments, so on and so forth, until we get to verse 6, where then it is, but by purity, now these are the weapons of the Holy Spirit. But by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech in verse 7, the power of God, these are the weapons then of righteousness. So you have these competing, you have really these competing forces against each other. The devil tries to use the things of this world, the things that popped up in St. Paul's ministry that were really trying times, even St. Paul's own thorn in the flesh, the devil tries to use to derail his ministry in the gospel. But St. Paul resides within the things of Christ, that he begins in verse 6, by the change being by purity. And so he then, St. Paul resides within those and continues to remain within those. And in fact, it almost seems as if he is rejoicing within his hardships, that he could endure that because he knows that he's doing the Lord's work. And if the devil's coming at him, the devil wants to stop his message. That means he's preaching the right message, and that he is—he's continuing on in the way of the Lord. And St. Paul can only, and we can only, reside within the things that St. Paul listed: purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. Only by the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's a continual outpouring as we read His Word, as we go to church and hear the forgiveness of our sins and actually receive it, as He gives us His Holy Spirit in the Lord's Supper, along with the forgiveness of our sins through Christ's own body and blood. As we have received the Holy Spirit in baptism, it's a continual daily giving of the Holy Spirit, and that is the only way that St. Paul and you and I can actually make it actually reside within the things of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are treated as imposters, and yet are true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything.
And there St. Paul is going back and forth, kind of juxtaposing the truth versus the lies that Satan will tell about them. The truth being that Christ is the only way to salvation, and the truth that Christ has died for our sin, and sin, death, and the devil no longer have any power over us. But what the devil will continue to do, he will continue, as it is what he does, to continue to lie about God's saints, as he lied and as he will continue to lie about Jesus, who Jesus really is, what Jesus has really done. And so with St. Paul, the world treats them in the opposite way of what actually really is going on here, and the world sees them in a different way. But St. Paul knows that because of Christ, he has already received forgiveness, and that's all that matters. He knows exactly where he is a resident, where he is a resident of. He knows he's a resident. He's got his feet on this ground, yes, but his head, his heart, his spirit is already residing within heaven. So nothing can separate us as he says in 1 Corinthians, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not the things of this world, and definitely not the devil, because Christ has already conquered him.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Matthew Wheatfeld from Trinity Lutheran Church in Nashville, Illinois, and Trinity St. John Lutheran School in Nashville, Illinois. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have a question or a comment on the text today, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or 314-821-0850. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back here in just a moment. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Detective Polehouse has bad news and good news about the fire at Wooten's house.
The fire investigators think they know where the fire started.
And rumors spread around Odyssey Middle School.
Did you hear about Wooten's house? Burned down last night to the ground.
What time?
Around 9?
Buck Oliver was out last night around that time.
Be sure to tune in for the next adventure in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at kfuo.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor Matthew Wheatfeld from Trinity Lutheran Church and Trinity St. John Lutheran School in Nashville, Illinois. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today, verses 1 through 18. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 11?
Let's do it.
All right. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted to, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also.
Verse number 11, where St. Paul says, we have spoken freely to you. He's not hiding anything. He is not hiding his true motives. He's not hiding what his intent is. This ministry of the gospel, as we have been speaking about earlier, is rooted in love. And St. Paul really shows that love in the expression that he uses at the end of that verse. He says, Corinthians, our heart is wide open. St. Paul is showing his genuine love for them, for Christ's church, and also for Christ himself. Christ opened his heart, in a sense, to us, that he loved us and gave himself up for us. And now he calls for us to then, through this ministry of reconciliation, to love one another. And really, if you think about it, there is no greater love in Christ's church that when two people who may have a difference or may be in conflict, when they put that difference and conflict aside and return to the cross and confess their sins to one another to receive Christ's forgiveness and to receive each other's forgiveness when the sin has been committed, there is no greater love than that because it brings together the body of Christ. It's living within Christ's ultimate love for us, and it is residing within that and dwelling in that. And thanks be to God that He strengthens us through His Holy Spirit that we may actually live within that. So St. Paul's holding nothing back. He is telling them the absolute utmost truth, and his heart is wide open to them. And then he continues in verse 12, you are not restricted by us. We're not holding you guys back, St. Paul says. We're not trying to hinder you. We are actually trying to help you see the fullness of the gospel. and the fullness of what Christ gives to his church through the ministry of reconciliation, of us going to one another in the way of that Christ gives us in Matthew chapter 18. If your brother sins against you, go to him. If he doesn't listen to you, bring somebody with you. If he doesn't listen to you, take it to the church. And the only reason you go to the church is so that the body of Christ may be united in saying, this is truth. What you have done is not truth, or is hurtful, sinful, what have you. Repent. The church calls, we as individual Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called when a sin is against us to call our brother or sister in Christ to repentance. First individually, then with another person, and ultimately bring it to the church so that the person that has sinned can say either, I repent, or, you know what, I just don't want to live in Christ's forgiveness. I can do this myself. No, thank you. And then the church, unfortunately, has to say, well, that's not the way that it is around here. We reside in Christ's forgiveness. Repent, please. We beg you. We repent. And ultimately, then, they are as a Gentile to the Christian community, as an outsider. That's what Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 18. Here, St. Paul is drawing them to the gospel through the ministry of reconciliation. And he is speaking, as he says in that bracketed part, I speak to you as children. I know who you are. You're new to the faith. And in being new to the faith understanding these things is not easy. Let's work together on this. I am not going to leave you as a child. We are moving from spiritual infancy to spiritual adulthood, to in that maturing process, and we will do this together. Just as a parent feeds and helps and cares for the child, so I, St. Paul, as your spiritual father, will care for you as my spiritual children.
Shall we go on to verse 14 in the next section, Pastor?
Yeah, go to verse 14.
Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
So St. Paul is he is crafting this letter according to the tenets or the doctrine of the Old Testament. Do not yoke yourself unequally with an unbeliever. That's a throwback to Deuteronomy 7, verse 3, and Joshua 23, verse 12, and even more than that. But that Deuteronomy 7, verse 2 and 3, that is where he is really honing in on that. St. Paul now is shifting gears, in a sense, as if someone asks him a question in regards to, so all you're saying is nice, fine, and dandy, but what happens when we're dealing with unbelievers here in regards to a ministry of reconciliation? So St. Paul has to kind of turn gears in the midst of what he is saying in regards to a ministry of reconciliation, to speak on what it means to be a believer, what it means to hold on to what God has already given to us. And then he goes into this partnership language that it just doesn't make sense that you hold that these two competing forces, what is truth and what is a lie, they cannot go together. They don't mold together. They do not mesh at all. And so St. Paul is pushing forward this intimate relationship with Jesus as being the sole way of which we are looking at church. That it is we are united to one another. However, we can't go outside of the church and see whether it be an idol or whether it be the darkness. We can't bring that in because it has no place within Christ's church.
What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or fellowship with light have with darkness, or what accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols?
St. Paul goes on to focus and to really hone in on he is trying to say, giving specific examples, the specific examples of what fellowship, what communion, what community, how can light have community with darkness? Just practically, that doesn't make any sense. As St. Paul said to the Ephesians, it was a couple weeks ago in the epistle reading for in the three-year lectionary, when light comes into the darkness, it makes what is being done in dark visible, plain and simple. And the deeds done in dark are not deeds that want to be exposed by the light. Deeds that are done in the dark are not good things because they don't want to be seen, or the ones doing them do not want them to be seen, so that they cannot truly be exposed for what they are. And what they are is evil. What they are is corrupt. What they are is not according to God's will. They are anti-Christ. They are opposed to Jesus Christ himself and him crucified for us. As St. Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? The simple answer, I love St. Paul as a teacher because he's asking these rat-a-tat questions in order to provoke the hearer, us, his students, the Corinthians, his students, to say in our minds, wait, it has no place, it has no fellowship. Or in verse 15, or what accord, what coming together, what agreement has Christ with Baal? Baal is Hebrew for wickedness or worthlessness, another title for Satan. And so accord, what agreement, what do they have in common? What do they have to agree upon? Absolutely nothing. The way of Christ is pure and holy and righteous. The way of Satan is evil and corrupt and anti-Christ. So it's simply these things have nothing in common. They have no fellowship with one another.
With just about 60 seconds to look at this last quote here. For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty.
Right there, St. Paul is citing Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. St. Paul, being the good rabbi, the good teacher that he is throwing back to Moses, throwing back to the Torah, saying, you know, this still applies to us, not in the sense that this is our law, but it is good for us. What Christ does with the law, he takes the law upon himself, and he fulfills it completely for us. But then he doesn't throw it away or anything. He doesn't say, no longer shall you live by the law. You don't live by the law for your salvation. You no longer live to the law for your salvation. Instead, you live in the law or live by the law for the benefit of your neighbor. Solely sanctification. It is good for you. First, the law shows us our sins. In regards to our justification, that we cannot complete the law, and then the Lord gives us the law so that we can help out our neighbor and for the benefit of our neighbor. So that's what St. Paul is using here from Leviticus in the Old Testament.
Pastor, I've enjoyed our study today in 2 Corinthians. It's been great to have this time with you.
Thank you so much for the time.
God bless you and all the saints at Trinity Lutheran Church in Nashville, Illinois, and Trinity St. John Lutheran School in Nashville, Illinois. It was great to have this time with you, Pastor.
Thank you very much, Andy. God bless you, too.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.